Blog Talk Radio.
And a very good Wednesday afternoon, everyone. I'm hoping that this Wednesday afternoon is finding you in very, very good health. But I know, guys, it is cold out there. I want to thank you so much for joining us on At Home with Victoria again on this Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I am very, very and super excited about today's show because a very special guest is going to be joining me on a conversation about how they are just doing tremendous amounts of work in the Washington, D.C. area to help individuals that are dealing with life-threatening illnesses. And his name is Craig Schneiderman, and Craig is going to be joining us in probably about 3 to 4 minutes. I asked him to call in at about 5 minutes after the hour because I wanted to give a little background information as to who he is and what we're going to talk about for this 45 minutes on At Home with Victoria. And Craig is the executive director who works for Food and Friends. And again, that's a nonprofit organization in D.C. And you know what, guys? What I really love about this group is that they deliver meals to individuals who have been diagnosed and who are suffering with cancer, folks who are HIV positive, people that have MS, and basically, you know, people who are bedbound, who are shut in, and don't have, you know, in some cases, don't have anyone that is there to help them. So his organization, they deliver food to at least, I think it's like 1,400 people, if looking at the website, to help people every single day. Because, of course, you know, when you're sick, you still you've got to eat. And a lot of these folks aren't able to get up and cook for themselves. And I'm sure they have friends and family who come by and who help them out. But, you know, it's something to be said for an organization day in and day out that's out there in the trenches that are really, really helping to feed people that have these diseases every single day. And I'm also, I have to tell you, a little bit biased about Food and Friends because my brother, Jerry, is an associate chef there at the organization. So I always get to hear all the wonderful things that they do in the D.C. area to help people. And when Craig calls in, you guys have to hear about the whole Thanksgiving Day thing that they do because I have been there for Thanksgiving when they serve meals to thousands of people in the D.C. area. And I've got to tell you, folks, it is absolutely impressive. So let's see if Craig is on the line. I think he's on the line. And we're going to say hello to him. Hi, Craig, are you there?
I'm there. It's nice to speak
to
you.
Hello.
How are you?
I am great. I was just telling everybody before I clicked you on that I've been so, so super excited to talk about you and what you guys are always doing to help people over there at Food and Friends.
Well, thanks very much. I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk with all of you.
Well, it's funny. I have to say this before we start. When Lisa and I were setting this up, and Lisa, folks, is the communications director there at Food and Friends, I said to Lisa, I said, I'm thinking about should we do a 30-minute show with Craig or a 45-minute show with Craig? And we both started laughing. She goes, I think you can do 45 minutes because I'm pretty sure Craig can talk for 45 minutes. So I do want to thank you for spending 45 minutes with me. But, Craig, for people who don't know anything about Food and Friends, give us a quick overview of the organization.
All right, well, here's the thumbnail. We are in our 21st year of service to the greater Washington area. We're located at 219 Riggs Road Northeast, which is the intersection of Riggs Road and South Dakota Avenue, out near the Prince George's County and Montgomery County line, sort of tucked up here in the corner of the district. And the work that we do today is in many respects similar, though on a much larger scale, than the work we did 21 years ago when we started. Mm-hmm. The work of Food and Friends, of which your brother Jerry is an important part, I might add,
thank you,
is to prepare and home deliver almost 1 million meals each year to people who are living with HIV, AIDS, cancer and other life-challenging illnesses, mm-hmm. and to deliver those meals additionally to members of the household, and beyond that, to provide nutrition counseling to these children and adults who are clients of the organization. And this is done with a small staff, 50 mm-hmm. women and men, and 11,000 volunteers, both somewhat younger people, secondary school age, all the way on up through the age ranks.
That is that's impressive, and I have to tell you, I had no clue that it was 1 million, that it was that many people. So that number is very new to me. Very impressive.
Well, it is a lot. I've been the director, it'll be 15 years in April, and when I started 15 years ago, we were in the basement of the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Southwest Washington, and we were delivering about 200,000 meals a year. So it's grown very considerably over the years.
Now, just to let everyone know, Craig, and this is something that you can't see, but I do have something that's called a chat room open. So there'll be a few people that will be joining us in the chat room from time to time that may have a question for you. So I'll certainly go ahead and post that question. So for those of you that are joining us right now in the chat room, I do want to thank you for being here. And, again, we're talking with Craig today from the nonprofit organization Food and Friends in D.C. And, Craig, let me ask you this, because I first want to start off actually with the question that we have in the chat room. How do you go about selecting these folks that you deliver the food to? What's the process for that?
Well, the process involves mostly people who are coming to us. So the selection is, in effect, really done more by the clients than by Food and Friends, though we have criteria for that people need to meet in order to be eligible.
Mm-hmm.
But the clients who we serve, both the kids and the adults, are usually very ill, whether it be with HIV, AIDS, or cancer, or other illnesses. And those people are generally referred to us by physicians, nurse practitioners, mm-hmm. hospital discharge planners, and the like. Basically, these are people who are pretty well involved in the healthcare system as patients, and mm-hmm. the people they're working with make the referral. Sometimes people do self-referrals, but mm-hmm. that's less common. Health departments also, I should add, refer quite a few clients to us.
Okay, and I'm assuming also for this person that asked the question, if you guys have any more questions, you also can check out their website, and that's www.foodandfriends.org, and I'm sure you can find some information on your question that that particular person asked in there. And Craig, let's talk a little bit about, because I know that you guys have nutritional folks and specialists on your staff. So, you know, when you're putting together these meals, I'm assuming that, you know, that there's a lot of that's involved in that.
That's true. We have four licensed dietitians who are with us full-time, and then we have some part-time dietitians who work with us as mm-hmm. well, who work with the clients. The staff dietitians both do nutrition counseling with the clients and work with the culinary staff. With your brother Jerry and Peter Moutsos, the executive chef, and the other chefs to plan the menus. And then also the nutritionists work directly with the clients to make sure that the meals we're providing, which are not the same meals for all the clients, the meals are varied according to the needs and preferences of the clients. The dietitians work with those clients to make sure that we're meeting their needs. We also have some dietitians. This is the age of telecommunications and internet
sure.
communications and so forth. We have some dietitians who actually work with clients who aren't even in the Washington area. That is, the dietitians are not in the Washington area.
Okay, I got you.
But they
got
do
you.
Telephone nutrition counseling with the clients. All of the clients live in Greater Washington, though it's a very mm-hmm. big area in Greater Washington.
Now, also, on my show a lot, I really try to focus on interviewing nonprofit organizations, because I really just believe that the work that you guys do is just super, super important. And even with me in my television career, 15 years and continuing now, I've got a chance to do a lot of stories on nonprofits. And I remember, I want to say about 6 years ago, I remember being out on a story in Baltimore, B. Gaddy's Kitchen, where she delivers food to homeless people. And it was sort of a light bulb went off in my head. I'm sure I always knew this, but I thought, you know, without organizations like yours in America, you know, there would be so many people that really would suffer and just go without.
Well, it's true. And this is, I think people are more aware of this issue in the current economic climate. But the fact is that hunger is a major problem in this country, even in good economic times. There are millions of people.
Do you think people understand that, though, in this country? Because sometimes I think we do, but then sometimes I think we don't.
Well, I think it varies. There are people who understand it well and other people who are entirely remote from the issue and probably don't understand it at all. I think that part of what complicates this is that there are many types and degrees of hunger. There are people who are getting a reasonably large quantity of food, but the food is not suitable for their nutritional needs.
Okay,
for example, some of the clients of Food and Friends have so-called enough to eat, but they're eating foods which are not supporting their health and recovery from illness.
Sure.
So simply an issue of volume or quantity of food doesn't really fully address the issue of hunger. Then there are people who are outright starving, and then there are people who are undernourished and as well as malnourished. So there's a considerable range, and a lot of people who are in need of food or better food, you can't tell it looking at them. I mean, there are people who are emaciated that you'd say, well, clearly this is a hungry person. But there are a lot of people who are hungry who appear to be not.
Not. Well, and you know, too, I think, you know, this part of the conversation, you're really also touching on a larger issue just within the United States of America and our eating habits, obesity, diabetes, and all these other things that we're dealing with in our country in terms of what it is that we eat. So that, you know, so that part about what you said, that making sure that you give your clients the right type of food that they need. And we're not talking, you know, just throwing some cheeseburgers and that sort of food inside there for them to eat, obviously, is very important. So actually, you know, I kind of feel like that whole model that you're talking about, it would be great if we can just, you know, sort of start to adopt that attitude, you know, as a country in general, which I'm sure there are a lot of people out there trying to push for us to do that. I also have another question inside of the chat room. And this woman, is name is Deidre. Deidre, thanks for joining us today on At Home with Victoria. And she wants to know about volunteering and how does one sign up to become a volunteer and help.
Well, that's a great question because that's the kind of question that leads to the help that we need at Food and Friends. We have 11,000 volunteers, or I should say we had 11,000 volunteers in 2009. But many volunteers are occasional volunteers. Many volunteers are one-time volunteers. So we're always in need of volunteers, but especially in need of volunteers who can do delivery for us.
Okay.
We have a much easier time finding volunteers to work in the kitchen than volunteers who will sign up to do delivery. But whatever the individual's interest in volunteering, all that's necessary is to log on to the Food and Friends website, foodandfriends.org, and there is a button that you can click on to find out about how to volunteer and even to register for a volunteer orientation, which are done at, which are held at least a couple of times a month, either here at Food and Friends or elsewhere. Most of them are actually done here. But becoming a volunteer is an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, just to let everyone know who is out there listening, if you guys don't have a pen or something, don't worry. I will have the link to www.foodandfriends.org here on the show on At Home with Victoria. So if you miss it when our conversation with Craig Schneiderman is over, then you can feel free to go back and get it because I generally keep that information up there on the link for about 2 weeks. And if you are just joining us again, I want to thank you guys for being here today. We're talking with Craig, and he is the executive director of Food and Friends in D.C., and that's an organization that helps thousands and thousands of individuals every year. We're talking about people that suffer or have been diagnosed with cancer, who are HIV positive, MS, folks that are bedbound. And this organization every single day takes them food and feeds them. And Craig, getting back to that, I do have an email. There is a woman in Chantilly, Virginia. Shannon is her name, and her question is, with in terms of feeding, is that breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or just breakfast and dinner?
Well, typically it's three meals a day delivered at one time.
Okay.
So we provide a full complement of meals, and not everybody needs meals 6 days a week. So there are people that will get meals a couple days a week, three, four, five, but up to 6 days a week. So it really depends upon what the needs are of the individual. But always it provides enough food for the three full meals each day.
And let's talk about the food. And also, Craig, I want you to touch on Thanksgiving, because I remember it was a while ago, and I remember I was a news anchor in the Midwest, and I was able to come home to D.C. for Christmas. No, not Christmas, I'm sorry, Thanksgiving, and Jerry had to work, and he always talked about that that's just such a crazy and big time of the year for you guys. And he had always said, you've got to come by and just kind of see what it's like that day and take a look at the operation. So that was my first experience being there, and it was, again, needless to say, it was very impressive to see that amount of people in one spot to serve a purpose, and such a good purpose. It, you know, it can kind of tear you up a little bit if it's your first time. So talk a little bit about what goes into that whole Thanksgiving operation for us. And
well,
also, how is it that you get the food?
Well, Thanksgiving really is the hallmark day for Food and Friends. I mean, we do this service 6 days a week, 52 weeks a year. But Thanksgiving is a special day for us, and I think really it always has been. On Thanksgiving, we, for example, Thanksgiving 2009, we delivered about 3,500 complete Thanksgiving dinners to clients in Washington, D.C., and in 14 surrounding counties of Maryland in Virginia, which is our regular delivery area. It's a very big delivery area. But Thanksgiving was different in a couple of regards. The thing which was most different was that every meal was delivered by volunteers. Typically, 50 to 60% of the food is delivered by staff drivers using our vehicles, and 40 to 50% of the meals are delivered by volunteers. But on Thanksgiving, 100% of the delivery is done by volunteers.
Wow.
And also different is the fact that most of those volunteers are with us particularly for Thanksgiving. These are not our regular delivery volunteers. We use Thanksgiving as a kind of recruitment day for volunteers so that people have this terrific experience delivering gigantic bags of food to clients, and it's a good first-time experience. It's a organizational challenge, as you can imagine, because we're dealing with hundreds of people who really aren't used to dealing with the Food and Friends system of food delivery. And many of these volunteers, in fact, are delivering to areas of the city or regions or counties in the area that they're really unfamiliar with. So there's some challenges that go with it. But it's a terrific experience. Hundreds
of what time do they start? I'm sorry, what time, when they start that delivery, are they starting at like 7 o'clock in the morning? Generally, what time are they done that day?
Well, the way Thanksgiving runs is it really starts at about 5 o'clock in the morning with the final pack-up of food, which goes on throughout the morning. And starting at about 8 o'clock in the morning, the deliveries begin. So we are simultaneously packaging food and sending food out for delivery as the morning goes on. So the whole operation starts at about 5. Actually, the chefs get in about 4. But the volunteers start the final packaging of food about 5 a.m. The volunteers who are doing delivery start at about 8, and it continues until about 11. And by about 11:30, all of the meals are out of the building and on the road. And I'd say by 2 o'clock, they're delivered.
That's impressive. That's very, 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 very impressive. And the reason I say that, because I have an idea just how, what something like that, to what goes into putting something like that on.
It's complicated. It's very complicated. But we've got a lot of experience in doing it. This was my 16th Thanksgiving, but actually the tradition of this big Thanksgiving program started shortly after Food and Friends was founded. So we've actually got a lot of years doing it. Every year it's bigger, and every year we do it a little better. We have learning experiences.
Great. And also, again, the second part to that question was about the food. Where exactly do you get the food from? And also, are there different organizations in D.C. that help out with that?
Right. About 85% of our food is purchased from food wholesalers. About 15% comes from the Capital Area Food Bank or from food drives. Unlike a lot of organizations that are more traditional kind of food rescue programs or feeding programs for the homeless and other worthwhile kinds of activities, our menus are planned well in advance, and we have 12 different menus that we're preparing every day. So we can't count on donated food because we would never be able to coordinate the menu with the available food.
Right.
So most of our food is purchased at very favorable prices from food wholesalers, but we do food drives with organizations during the year where we specify what our needs are, and those organizations agree to obtain through their own food drive largely canned goods that we we know that we can use.
And I wanted to ask you, because I think at least twice or three times during this conversation you mentioned that you have been with Food and Friends and served as executive director for over 15 years now. What has been, I would say, off of the top of your head, one or two of the major changes that you have seen from the time that you started up until right now?
I'd say that the two major changes have to do with the geographic area that we serve and the clients who are eligible. The geographic area now includes, as I mentioned earlier, the entire Washington metropolitan area, the District of Columbia, seven counties in Maryland, seven counties in Virginia. When I started almost 15 years ago, we were serving only the District of Columbia and the counties that are contiguous with the district. So we were serving Prince George's and Montgomery, Fairfax, and Arlington counties, and the District of Columbia. Now that's vastly expanded. The other thing that's changed, in the year 2000, we broadened the eligibility of our service to expand from serving only children and adults with HIV/AIDS to persons with cancer and other life-challenging illnesses. And today, about 50% of our clients are persons living with HIV. The other 50% are persons with these other illnesses. And so that's been a rather dramatic expansion.
That's great. And also, I wanted you to talk a little bit about the, I guess I shouldn't call it a new facility because you guys have been there for a while, but I remember you when you were in the older building, and I wanted you to talk about sort of the significance and importance of that new building that you mentioned at the top of the show.
Well, the building still feels somewhat new to us, and we take very good care of it so that it continues to look quite new. But for the past – I'm sorry?
I said it is a very nice building, very nice.
Thank you. For the past 5 years, we've been in this facility, which we built at 219 Riggs Road. We raised about $9 million in order to buy the land and to construct the building from scratch. And it's a very large facility. It's 26,000 square feet. When I started at Food and Friends, we used the basement of the Westminster Church. We had about 1,000 square feet that we used, including the little kitchen in the basement. So this is a dramatically different kind of organization now than it was then. The work is, in many respects, the same. But the scale in which we can do it because of this facility is entirely different.
And I'm sure that means things like having that very, very nice kitchen that my brother keeps telling me about. When you guys first moved into that building, he raved about that space for quite a bit to me and my family. He was very, very happy with that.
Well, it is a good kitchen, and it's more than sufficient in terms of the number of people we're serving now. One of the things which is interesting is that someday we will outgrow this space. We won't relocate, but we'll have to expand the building and probably expand the kitchen and cold storage areas as well. For the time being, it's sufficient, but we're already starting to feel the limits of the space.
Wow, I'm laughing because I guess that's a good thing. So I guess we'll have that as a good thing.
Well,
Craig,
is a good
you have
thing.
Another question inside the chat room, and this is a young lady who says that she loves Food and Friends, and she is one of your friends on Facebook. So maybe, I guess, with that said, we can talk a little bit about the social networking and how that's working for you guys.
Well, we have a Facebook page and we Twitter. I'm not personally involved in either of those, but we have staff who work with our Facebook page and who Twitter regularly, and we have a fairly substantial following. It's interesting to me. This is not an uncommon thing for healthcare and social service agencies to be involved in social networking. I think it's a generational preference for younger people, even more than older people, to be engaged in the social networking with nonprofit organizations. And that's terrific. It's a good additional way to keep up with what we do. We also work very hard on our website. The use of websites has become interactive and much more sophisticated over time. I think, frankly, it's a website can be more deeply informative than anything you can do with Twittering. I think that the tweets are by design limited. I think they're fun.
Very much so.
I think that we know that you have to communicate in many ways with the public. We Twitter, we Facebook, we have a online newsletter called Monthly Mouthful that comes out 12 times a year. We still have a traditional snail mail newsletter that comes out 2 or 3 times a year. We work very hard to keep in touch with people. Our email addresses are listed.
It certainly does seem like, I didn't mean to cut you off, that is working. And I wanted to just make a point on Facebook because, like I said, I am friends with Food and Friends on Facebook, and I have a fairly nice size social networking on Facebook and Twitter. So what happened when I put that out there that you were going to be on the show today and that I was going to be interviewing you, you cannot imagine the amount of response that I got from that. So then I was able to take your interview and post it onto Food and Friends page on Facebook. So that in itself really, really is a great way, you know, in today's society to get information out there and let people know that, you know, this you're going to be on a show at this particular time and so on and so forth. But I do also agree with you about that one's website is also very critical for any organization as well, besides, you know, the whole social networking aspect of it. And speaking of your website, I do have your website up. I'm looking at it right now. For those of you that are out there joining us, again, we're talking with Craig. He is the executive director of Food and Friends, and that is an organization in D.C. And the website, very, very, very nice. And we had a question earlier about volunteering. So for those of you that are out there and you are interested in volunteering, if you go to the website, there's a little tab at the front that will say volunteer, and I'm sure if you click on that, you'll be able to get more information on that. There's also a section for you to click for donations. So if you want to give a donation, I'm sure they would be more than welcome to take your donation, as well as just great information about Food and Friends and the services that the organization provides. Craig, I'm also looking at your front page, and you guys do a lot of special events. I see something that's about the Slice of Life, Dining Out, the 20th Annual Chef's Best Dinner. Talk about those events that you guys do yearly.
Well, we do a lot of events. We do some events which are critical to us in terms of raising a large amount of money. We do other events which are much smaller. So they range from the Chef's Best Dinner and Auction, which is in June of each year, where we raise between $600,000 and $700,000, with a dinner attended by more than 1,000 people. In September of each year, in recent years, we've been conducting a very small bike ride where a couple of dozen people go out, ride bikes in various events that we tag on to to raise $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 for Food and Friends among the various riders. The Dining Out for Life event in March is an interesting event. It's the model basically is that we have more than 100, about 130 restaurants typically, that are donating from 25% to 100% of their proceeds to us for the lunch or lunch and dinner that day for the Dining Out for Life. So people can actually make a donation to Food and Friends by doing something as simple as dining out for lunch or dinner. We raise money from table contributions. But we do a good many events, and we know that Washington is a community of people who like to go out, like to go out to dinner. They like to go bike riding. It's a it's an active activist community, so we try and make sure that we have plenty of interesting events for people.
And for those of you again that are joining us late, or if you were here at the top of the hour, I wanted to let you know that the link to foodandfriends.org will be linked on my website. So if you don't have time to jot it down, you can always go back to my website, and that information is going to be on there. And also, Craig, I don't know if you know this, my show is on Apple iTunes.
So I did not know that.
Yes. So you will be forever on Apple now. So all you've got to do is if you go to Apple and you hit podcast and type in At Home with Victoria, then my lovely face and show will show up. So immediately after our interview with Craig is done, it will upload itself to iTunes. So within a matter of, 10, 15 minutes, you know, for you guys out there that want to keep this, you can certainly download it on iTunes. And, again, it will be there pretty much forever. It's not going anywhere at all. And, yeah, Craig, I think that is really good, because then, you know, that information – it's just, you know, always going to be out there for anybody to be able to access this interview, or for you guys in case you ever need it for anything. And I also had another question. This is another question in the chat room. I love it when I have people in the chat room and they can kind of do my job and ask questions for me. This is a woman who is from Prince George's County, and her name is, it looks like Seely. I don't like to give last names, so I won't give her last name. But, Craig, she says that many, many years ago, your organization, Food and Friends, helped her uncle, who was HIV positive, and she said that if it was not for your organization in helping him feed him, that it would have certainly placed a huge burden on her family. So she says thank you.
Well, we are glad that we could be of service. There's always an upside and a downside to this for us. We're glad that we can help people, but we are saddened by the fact that there's so many people, including this woman's relative, who needed us, because we know that the circumstances that bring people to us are almost invariably very difficult. But we really do think it's a privilege to serve this community, and it means a lot to us when somebody contacts us through you, or when somebody sends us an email or a letter. We receive a lot of thanks from people, which we appreciate. It's certainly not why we do this work.
But the wonderful
thing about Food and Friends is that while we have helped 18,000 people, maybe closer to 19, almost 20,000 now, in fact, since we've started, we do this one person at a time, and everybody's story is unique and everybody's need is unique. And it's a privilege to really be of help.
That's wonderful. Cecilia, I want to thank you so much for sharing that with us. And we're certainly thinking about you and your family. And, Craig, when she sent the message, she put in parentheses, tears in my eyes. So I just wanted to let you know that. So, Craig, we've got about five more minutes. I can't believe the time is almost up. Was there anything that you wanted to talk about that you didn't get a chance to, that you really kind of wanted to get out there? Anything upcoming you guys got going on?
Well, again, I would ask that people take a look at our website, because the best way to stay informed about Food and Friends is to look at the website, which is frequently updated. We have fundraising events coming up, Dining Out for Life in March. We have Chef's Fest dinner in June. We have lots of things going on, but there are two things that people can do to help us, and one or both would be appreciated. One, volunteer. Volunteering, particularly for people who are willing to deliver meals for us, would be a great service. We really like to be in the position to say yes to everybody, but we have to be able to get the meals delivered, and having volunteers to do it would make a big difference. The other thing, and you mentioned this, is donations. People can donate online. We just finished the period of the greatest charitable donations we received during the year, December. During the month of December, we received the equivalent of 3 months of donations, if you were to look at it across the year. Mm-hmm. People donate $5. We have donations of thousands of dollars that are made online. Sometimes it's really quite breathtaking to see how generous people are, especially toward the end of the year.
Right.
But this isn't the end of the year. This is the beginning of the year, but we have just as many clients to take care of in January as we had in December. So if people go to the donate button on our website, we would be very grateful for that.
That sounds good to me. And again, the website is www.foodandfriends.org, and the link will be here on my page as well. Craig, it has been an absolute pleasure. I am showing my teeth right now, which means I'm smiling because I'm very happy to finally be able to interview you, because I just know personally from our brother the great work that you guys do. And I hope that now that you know that I'm here, that you will come back and visit again, especially when you've got those functions coming up and you want to get the word out about it. It's just a matter of an email or a telephone call, and I'll make it happen for you.
Why, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you, such a pleasure to talk with all of the people who are connected to you. This is a wonderful thing that you've done, and I hope that we'll be talking again.
We will. Thank you so much, Craig.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
And again, for those of you that are joining us, that was Craig Schneiderman, and he is the executive director for Food and Friends. He's been there for almost 16 years, and he joined us today to talk about the need, you know, for helping individuals that suffer from cancer, who are HIV positive with MS, and people that are shut in and need help. And they deliver 3 square meals a day, every single day, to people in the Washington metropolitan area as well as Northern Virginia. And as Craig mentioned, that they really, really, really need volunteers to drive and to deliver the meals. So if you're out there and, you know, you want to do something good, I would suggest that you go ahead and check out their website, www.foodandfriends.com, and click on the volunteer button. And, you know, I would say give it a try one time. You never know. I mean, it'll be a very, very good experience one time. And then perhaps if you like it again, then you can, I'm sure, feel free to do it again. But I want to quickly talk about a couple of upcoming shows that we have. We've got about 6 more minutes before our time is done here today. On the 17th, we're going to be talking about a really, really big consumer craft show. Simone is going to join me on that show. If you guys are regular listeners, you know Simone is sort of my craft and art expert. Simone's going to be headed out to California, in fact, Anaheim, to the Anaheim Convention Center on January the 22nd until the 23rd, because they've got that craft show out there that's going to be taking place, and there have thousands of people and vendors that are out there. So Simone is going to be showing us, when she gets back, telling us, excuse me, about sort of the new upcoming crafts and things that you'll get to see in your craft stores come this spring. So we're really going to be looking forward to that. And also, another show that I'm excited about, we are going to be teaming up here on At Home with Victoria with On the Mark Media. And On the Mark Media is founded by Mark Silverstein. And Mark Silverstein, some of you may know him. He spent a lot of time doing shows on the Food Network. He still does a lot of television, but he also has his public relations media company that he does. And we're going to talk about anti-aging secrets, and that will be on the 21st of this month at 4:30. So we're going to have a couple of doctors that are going to come on from D.C. Derma doctors, and they're dermatologists, and they're going to talk about a new hair removal system and all of this new technology and through anti-aging that's going on now that basically, you know, has no downtime. So you'll be able to go in there and get these procedures done, and then, you know, you'll be up and out of the office and back to work in no time. So we're going to be talking to those guys, and that's going to be, again, at 4:30 on the 21st. And then the last show that I want to talk about that's coming up really kind of has to do with something special that you can buy for Valentine's Day. Can you believe Valentine's Day is pretty much already here? I was in the drugstore the other day, and probably about 2 weeks ago, and all I saw was Valentine's stuff. It seems like Christmas wasn't even over, and Valentine's stuff was up already, but you guys know how that works. But in any event, we're going to be talking to a young lady who has a company. It's called Cakes a Bake, and that is based, I want to say, in Wilmington, Delaware, and she just does this great, great stuff when it comes to chocolates and baking cakes and cupcakes and all of that stuff. So Autumn is her name. So Autumn will join us to talk about some kind of cool stuff that you may want to think about giving your loved one or best friend or coworker for Valentine's Day. And she's going to have some pretty, pretty cool ideas to talk about. But in any event, I am going to go. I feel like I'm trying to get a cold here. My throat is kind of scratchy, so wish me luck on that, that I don't. Thank you guys so much for joining us today on At Home with Victoria. And I will see you, or you will listen to me again, in a couple of weeks. It's always been a pleasure. Have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.